Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse.
It's like
it's
the news,
the
but
lighter
honest.
Side of genocide.
It's the news, but honest.
Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise,
yes,
what's
and
the
you have
point
to have
of
the
being
disposition.
Killed? Bad news. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists. It's Vinny's jokes. I mean, seriously, they're just awful. And my very special guest joining me is Damien coming in live from New Zealand and wearing his little MAGA hat that stands for Make Our Doom Go Away, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Damien, welcome.
Yeah, no, I haven't worn it today, actually. I forgot to pull it out. I was in the middle of something, so I didn't grab it out. My apologies.
let's get down to brass tacks here, because, you've been... doing this broadcasting thing for a little bit, but for those who don't know and are unfamiliar with your work, where can they find you and who are you and what
I'm
do you
on
do?
Telegram at the moment, so t.me/DamienDement, all one word. Damien spelled like the omen, dement like demented without the ed on the end. All right, kids, one word, Damien Dement. I'm on Telegram. That's where I stay these days. I'm not on Facebook. I lost my account, like Voices for Freedom and the Convoy, on March 16th, because I shared a letter that was put out by the New Zealand lawyers speaking out with science. Letter to Police Commissioner Andrew Koster about, vaccine harm and shit like that. So I published that on Facebook, and like an hour later, my account was gone, just like Voices for Freedom and the Convoy. They lost their channels too. So I'm not on Facebook anymore. It's kind of a bummer. But so Telegram's is the shiznit. That's where I'm at these days, because you can actually be honest there. You can really put up detail there. So far we haven't, apart from the goddamn spam, the bots are just brutal. It's a great place to get your information, though. It's a great place to find information that the mainstream media is so scared to touch, because they know how incriminating it is about them and the people they protect.
I was thinking about this, that the problem with advertising online and broadcasting online is, number one, can you give us a hug? No, you can't. Can you look deep into our eyes? No, you can't. So there's a certain level of human interaction that just doesn't exist when you're online, that does exist when you're at the live events. All right, there's a different vibe here. And why do people listen? And in some cases, I think, why did I listen in the first place to people who are saying the things that the mainstream media didn't approve of? Suffering and trauma led me to believe that people who have a lot of influence and a lot of power use their power to maintain and grow that influence. And that history is therefore written by the victors.
Yeah.
And therefore to look at the history which tells you who you are and where you've come from is like looking into a black mirror, a distorted reflection that has none of the color or the brightness that is you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the fakeness of the media these days, is they are, while, they have the nicest sets and the slickest graphics and, they're all manicured and stuff in our mainstream media and they look all sort of flashy, they really are just lipstick on a pig. They have no authenticity. And I think that's the very big difference between people like yourself, Vinny, Counterspin Media, the folks at Voices for Freedom, Brad Flutie, all the people who participate in these freedom events, freedom causes, are authentic, real people. I don't doubt that the mainstream media flunkies, the retarded reporters who report the bullshit that they think is news, but it's just propaganda. Pretty sure maybe these people at home are probably well-intended, nice people. They just got swept up in the swamp with a bunch of other fucking people. But that, you know, that me being that nice and giving them that sort of leeway, it can only go for so long before you have to say, for fuck's sake, people, how long can you possibly be amongst the rest of New Zealand where the discourse about various problems in our nation are right in your face? And how can you say that us people, you, Vinny, me, anyone else, how can they say that we're crazy? That means that they either haven't been listening or they just don't want to listen.
Well, they say that's we're crazy because they can. I think it's like this. Look, if I told you that everything you'd have ever done in your entire life was meaningless, pointless, and that you have to start again practically from relearning the alphabet, yeah, you would love it if I was crazy and you didn't have to do that work, wouldn't you?
It's confronting. Our future is confronting. The things that we're going to have to break apart and re-piece back together and try and understand the various places where it went haywire to try and understand our past. This is the problem with Marxists and even, you know, their forefathers is they sure love to scrub, hide, and rewrite history. They're very, very good at it. New Zealand is no exception.
Yeah, and it's like in that movie Spielberg made about the Washington Post. The news is the first draft of history. So not only are they writing the history how they want it, they then go back and see how full of crap they were and then rewrite it to be even more full of crap, but this time to make sense a little bit, or at least to demonize anybody who questions you and outlaw it, perhaps.
Well, see, that's what's happening now. We know that we're embroiled in a propaganda misinformation war between people who hold the truth, and I describe us.
What is misinformation? Because some people might think it's a beauty pageant for journalists.
You know what? Misinformation for me is willful and deliberate misdirection using information to steer people towards decisions and outcomes that they wouldn't normally undertake if it hadn't been for that misinformation. That's where people have to understand is that at minimum, the mainstream media in New Zealand haven't been reporting actual news. They've been just propagandists. So therefore, they're in breach of consumer affairs laws about actually delivering news, you know, product. And that's what news is meant to be. You know, that's why, you know, people have said for a long time, like if you have a platform, for example, Twitter, and you are curating what is allowed and what is not allowed, it's not a public forum anymore. And you are now a publisher. And so this is where we have to push back on disinformation and misinformation in social media spheres, because that is where they're rewriting our history right now. And that's where everyone is fighting. So misinformation, where I see New Zealand's problem with the misinformation, Vinny, is that the people who control all the authority of information in terms of the government are all crooked. There's a lot so corrupt. And until it gets bad enough for everyone, Vinny, where everyone is universally shoulder to shoulder going, they're lying, nothing's going to change. It has to keep getting worse, and it sucks. But I think that's what's coming. It has to keep getting worse before people start waking up to it. Because the media are very effective. They have a huge platform. They've got endless amounts of money, you know, pouring in from government advertising. Do you imagine how much government revenue comes from government-based advertising across the spectrum of New Zealand's media apparatus?
It's like nearly $1 billion or something last I heard, is that they had $900 million in the bank to sell COVID ads, and that was on top of just giving the media a $50 million rescue package that had all these conditions about what they had to do with that money and stuff like that. Well, that's a government takeover of the media then, isn't it? Oh, no, it's not. We're fair and balanced. We're fair and balanced. Are you now?
There's nothing fair and balanced about it, because in if you look at – see how – the New Zealand government gets away with a lot of their shit by using the media and NGOs and people within government, is that there's a lot of people who work for the government as contractors. And so, for example, there is an absolute shitbag of a woman. Her name is Anna McAllister. She is a race supremacist activist whose sister works at Te Punaha Matatini. Her sister is also a race supremacist activist. She worked for Creative New Zealand. She was a person who would review people's applicants for grants, and she would decide whether or not what projects got money and which ones didn't. So you remember a few years ago when there was all those memes going around about the bullshit programs that were coming out because of New Zealand On Air or Creative New Zealand giving out grants to the most ridiculous like art installations and shit? She was one of those people who would be deciding where money would go. Well, she was part of the digital lynch mob that went after Lee Williams, okay? Got Lee Williams fired from his job. It was Anna McAllister, Tina Nata, Debbie Nari Packer. These three women went after Lee Williams, got him fired from his job, made Westpac close his accounts. They took his goddamn donation accounts. They just literally just destroyed this dude digitally. And then he these people, I contacted her, Creative New Zealand, because I said, look, this woman, Anna McAllister, is calling me a white supremacist online. She's got no proof. She's defaming me. And she works for the government. You know, where's your code of conduct? Do you have a code of conduct? And so they say, no, we don't have a code of conduct. She's a contractor. So I did the same thing with Tina Nata. Tina Nata is another very politically active race supremacist who was involved with lynching Lee Williams. And I contacted her government department at ESR and said, where's your code of conduct? To which they said, we don't have one. She's a contractor. It's they protect themselves by having these basically to being able to not go after their employees for conduct. And that's where the weaponization of government has become a fucking joke, is that these people get paid with our government dollars, but they have zero accountability that comes with being part of government because of this contractor nature.
Well, that's part of the protocol of Agenda 21. If you privatize everything, every private citizen is now owned. And if private citizens are owned, how could they ever bring any kind of complaint towards their owners?
No. And then that's the thing, we won't. You know, no one bites the hands that feeds you, right? Because, and that's what the government is doing to us now, destroying us economically speaking. I mean, they came out with revised GDP numbers the other day. We're down 0.2% for the first, for the last 3 months. Well, okay. We're down 0.2% over the last 3 months in terms of GDP. Remember that the forecasts were actually for growth. So we actually – the forecast was meant to be for 0.18 above, and we actually came down negative. So that's a very big departure. There's too many people in government or people in the media trying to cushion the very, very evident global financial fallout that's happening everywhere. These rosy predictions that keep coming out from them are bullshit. People got to get real and real fast, because we have only just begun seeing the economic fireworks. And don't stand too close. You don't want to get caught up in it. It's going to get real messy. And especially in a few months in New Zealand, when that temporary tax relief on fuel gets removed. Remember, there Jacinda Ardern allowed a temporary tax reduction, or actually I think dropped the fuel tax by 25%, and that's going to come back online in August. So You know, people have said
I'm not sure if it was by 25% or if it was just by 25 cents a litre. Because
I was driving past 25 cents a litre.
I was driving past a gas station today and it was $3.50 for a litre of 98. And I'm thinking it's going to be $4, it's going to be like $9 a litre, bro.
Yep. It absolutely will be. You've talked about this for years and year with your channels that you've been taken down and lost and censored by people. And, we've said it for a long time. We knew inflation was coming. We knew that inflation was coming just simply off of currency debasement by the U.S. government and by China. I mean, China has huge amounts of money printing over the last decade, as has the United States. We look at back at the global financial crisis of 2008-2009. Back then, dude, it was a $3.5 trillion problem related to just some shitty mortgages, right? Now, fast forward, it's now a $30 trillion problem, and that's just the surface. That's not including unfunded liabilities like Medicare and Medicaid and all this other stuff. And that's the,
if I may, the Prime Minister John Key became our leader in 2008, coming straight from Wall Street. And the way he got into Wall Street, his first job was like Forex trading alongside Andrew Krieger, who's the number one corrupt capitalist of all time, round about the same time that New Zealand floated its currency on the international market. And then it got snapped up by some buyers who had insider knowledge or something like that, like John Key on behalf of Andrew Krieger. And then our entire economy collapsed and we, like 100,000 New Zealanders, lost their jobs. All right. That was who became our prime minister to save us from the 2008 financial crisis. Yeah. What did he do to save us? He took us from $8 billion to $100 billion in debt, plus another $112 billion in derivatives debt. What caused the 2008 financial crisis, you ask, ladies and gentlemen? Derivatives!
Yay, derivatives! No, it's true, and this is where the game is rigged, and that's why the it doesn't matter if you're a corporation or you're a company or your country or a citizen. We've reached the peak debt. The amount of disposable income left over for the majority of people is no longer there. We're running out of oxygen. Okay. So that can't go on any more than it already has. It has to fall apart. And because we're leveraged out. We've already seen the market fall down a little bit. We just need one major strategic bank to fail, and we got a big, big problem. In China already, three banks should have failed, but the Chinese Communist Party of China has intervened and propped them up. So, but it just takes one. And for example, if Deutsche Bank were to go down, Deutsche Bank in Germany is systemically the most significant commercial bank that I believe is at risk of imploding, because Deutsche Bank themselves has a huge amount of sovereign debt from Spain and Greece and Portugal that they're holding. And, economically speaking, we've acknowledged the globe is going into a recession. Undoubtedly, it will become a full-blown depression, but it just needs one bank to go, and I think that this is going to be an absolute mudslide.
I'm just thinking about here the tactic of this, because during the 2008 financial crisis, what happened to all that bailout money? What happened to all the bailout money to the banks in New Zealand who the government didn't ask for one share in? They bought out all the good assets. What does the World Bank do when a country's in debt? They take their strategic assets, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? It means that during the 2008 financial crisis, almost everything that was left in private hands got bought up, all right? Mm-hmm. What do you think's going to happen next? Do you think you're going to be able to own a home or a car or own anything Why do you think they're saying if you will own nothing and be happy? Because they're planning to take everything using the debt and you and your ass as collateral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's have you seen that video that's lurking around on social media? It's like a 2-minute video that was taken of Klaus Schwab from like a hidden camera on someone's like a button camera. And it was Klaus Schwab and he's having a quick conversation. And Klaus Schwab is basically saying, yeah, we've pretty much got everyone in the bag. Politicians, media, governments. But more importantly, the academia and the doctors and the experts, you know, we've got them in the bag. And then the guy who's questioning him asks, oh, and the religious leaders too. And he goes, yeah, and the religious leaders. So this is Klaus Schwab basically acknowledging the World Economic Forum is really in control of it all right now. And I remember doing a video two years ago, I did a video about how I wrote that the world is awash and run by corrupt central banks who use money effectively in corruption in every facet of our lives, blah, 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 blah. Mark Dolder quoted me. Now, if you go back and look at that quote relative to today and you watch that 2-minute video, yeah, and you know what the Great Reset is, and you just look at how Auckland City Council is adopting the Fourth Industrial Reset, the Fourth Reset or the plans. So many people are adopting the new Industrial Revolution plans that are coming, and it's all the corporations. It's the corrupt corporations. Well, I knew this 2 years ago. The media were trying to tell me to stop me from saying this 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I was showing online how the World Bank in 2017 was shipping out tests around the world to countries, and they were called COVID-19 tests, and that was in 2017, yet it wasn't until February of 2020 that apparently the World Health Organization named it COVID-19, gave it its unique name. So how is it the World Bank is shipping tests given a name that was, you know, uniquely made up 3 years later? And this is the sort of shit that I've proven. I've shown it that the World Bank is involved in this shit. And still, the media in New Zealand don't say shit. I even met with an MP on the corner of my town recently, and I showed him this information. And he just looked at me as if I had given him a piece of glass to look through. Like there was nothing there. Because these people have no intention of kicking the hornet's nest that exists in front of us. And you know, that's why there's got to be people like you, Vinny. It's got to be people like Counterspin and others in the truth movement who have the balls to get this information out there, because no one is going to come and save us. No one's coming to save us.
Well, and there's many with the balls to say things, but few with the skills, you know, just learning how to use open broadcast software, Loopback,
yeah.
iMovie, GarageBand, learning how to upload a podcast, Weebly for creating your website. All these tiny little things add up to quite a bit as a media broadcaster. I'm doing today what would have ordinarily cost hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to rig up even as little as 20 to 30 years ago. And this is what is now available to everybody, ostensibly for free, once you've got the equipment that you need. And you know, I swear by having good quality gear, because ultimately, who are we up against? We're up against the flashiest of the flashy, aren't we? Yeah. How about we do a little bit of pimping too, and get a nice bit of style out there and make it fun? Because ultimately, what happens when you're having a phone call with a child? They lose interest very quickly, don't they? Because they can't really participate in the conversation. You could have all these bright colours to keep them tuned in, and lots of repetition too, don't you? What do you think the media and all these ads and things like that are actually trying to do, people, other than program them as children?
Just literally program us. Just beat it into us until we all sort of are wearing beige jumpsuits and we're all a bunch of homogenized weird people. That's what they want. Because then we won't procreate with each other. I mean, look at the mess they've made of Japan. You know, they've got created such a devastating, strange work culture in Japan that, you know, their population curve is going to fall off a cliff. You know, Elon Musk has come out and said this. You know, he sees that the population of Earth is at risk, and that because of lack of population, you know, so there's amazing like conjecture between, or the contrast, and it's available to us from people with means on both sides. So, you know, I look at the disinformation available here in New Zealand. I look at how over the last 6 years, really last 6 years in New Zealand, the government and various NGOs have pumped dozens, if not actually hundreds of foreigners into New Zealand because of our brain drain. Too many smart Kiwis bugger off overseas and do good things overseas. So New Zealand needed to bring in a bunch of corrupt assholes with various skill sets, social change, social entrepreneurs, impact organizations, very much everything that you can do to change, transform society, because it is part of the agenda. Not only are we going to touch the financial system, we're going to reset the economics, we're going to reset the macro political system, but we're also trying to change the social order at the same time. And these organizations exist. So my last count, out of around 590 special impact visas that were given by Immigration New Zealand to the Edmund Hillary Fellowship, of the 590, 280 of them were Americans. So for me personally, I'm a little bit pissed off and miffed that many of these people are here with such skill sets as activism or gender studies, are here, and they are positioned in places that, for organizations that are often the ones who draft policy, they draft narrative, and then it is given to the puppets that we call politicians. That dynamic is extremely close, uncomfortably close, for Kiwis if they saw it, if they understood it. I do understand it. I understand that a lot of these people have come here and are part of various global executive programs. These executive programs always revolve around race and gender and equity and adding value. Okay. Now, adding value is depopulation. Okay. That's what they mean by adding value.
Really, if there's all these assets left, but all the people are dead, each individual has more assets to their name, don't they? That's adding value, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm a big believer in this, and it's got the swamp fucking riled up as hell, but I'll always say it because I know it's true. The swamp in New Zealand are using Māori people, stealing their valor, stealing their heritage, and stealing their pride to use them as the narrow end of the wedge to steer the agenda. And it's massive. Those executive groups that I was telling you about, these executive schools, these courses that are run by Stanford, run by Harvard, run by various NGOs, it all revolves around Treaty of Waitangi, okay? Because if you're a contractor for government, even an NGO, you have to, at the bottom of your contract, to accept that money, it says that you must agree with the government's principles regarding the Treaty of Waitangi, okay? Which you and I know, the treaty's bullshit. It's shit. Even normal Māori people who know the truth don't think the Treaty of Waitangi is worth shit. It's bullshit. It's garbage. And so that's how the narrative or the Maorification of New Zealand has occurred, is that the government who holds the money for all these various groups says, you're only getting it if you really become champions for this shit. And that's how we are here today. Well, the majority of rational multi people see this. They're like, man, it's coming on way too strong. It's like meeting up with a respective boy or a girl out at a club, and they just come on way too strong to you, and you know that there's a whole lot of crazy behind that. That's exactly how the majority of multi people feel about how this government is using their valor, using their heritage, and using their worldview to try and enact communism, to enable Marxists to rewrite our past, to enable a faster transition to a shittier future. It's the amount of money that has come into New Zealand through people like Pierre Omidyar, and a lot of people don't even in New Zealand don't know who Pierre Omidyar is. He was the founder of eBay, the trading platform. Well, he's a big believer in communism. He's an anarchist, actually. He loves the green agenda, but more important than the green agenda, he really, really, really loves digital identification. He's a big believer in digital ID. So much, in fact, that he is one of the principal funders of Digital Identity New Zealand, the group that is working to make sure that everyone who's got the vax are going to be hooked up to their network so that we are all tracked and traced for the rest of our lives. Well, at least those who are vaccinated, because that's the reality. I mean, people don't get it, is that the reason why we saw the stupid pink-haired bitch named Susie Wiles during COVID is because I have pictures of her from 2015 sitting down with her bestie, Nicola Gaston, at a Singularity U event in Wellington. Now, for those of you who don't understand what Singularity U is, Singularity U is an organization that is committed to the development of transhumanism. And they had an event in Wellington, 2015. Guess who's in these photos? Sean Handy, Kate Hanna, Susie Wiles, Nicola Gaston, all the people who we've been looking at for all this COVID bullshit are suddenly the subject matter experts in 2020, and yet they are what? They were just part of AI to begin with. Isn't that crazy? And this is where –
can you see
me,
on screen,
Vinny,
what we've got here?
You might. Oh, nice. I love Rangi Toto in the background. Well done. You know what? That's awesome. Because, you know, Susie Wiles obviously has connections with her own business, Luciferase, which is the product she's worked on, and just her surname, Wiles. Isn't Wiles, like the definition of Wiles, isn't that the actions of the devil?
Well, you know, as in feminine wiles, ostensibly
the
it means
the wiles of the devil. I've heard of wiles.
It means to deceive, to great disorder and destruction of the victim.
Well, then, a trick or stratagem intended to ensnare, deceive, also beguiling or playful fuckery. Wow. I put the fuckery part in there just because I was bored.
Well, you can't make this shit up.
Anyway, no, but this is, we're watching a big show, Vinny. We're watching a big show. It's a big theatrical show. We're getting lied to by so many people. And it's just a matter of me and you having conversations with our friends and our family around us and calling people out on their bullshit.
Yeah, I was just thinking, who's the next, you know, media spokesperson for health gonna be? You know, hello, my name's Lion Cunt Flaps. You know, it's just like, I don't know.
Well, you know, and that's the funny part is this recent reshuffle of Jacinda's cabinet makes sense, like some of the portfolios. But you know, Kiri Allen Tapu was part of the, you know, the terrorist group that was arrested in 2007 down on the East Cape, you know, plotting terrorist training organizations along Tamaiti and Rangi Kimara. She was involved in that. The only reason why she got out of it is because at the time she was interning for Helen Clark. And so Helen Clark basically saved her ass. And then Kiri Allen Tapu's own lawyer became her, is now her wife. So they're now married. And Kiri Allen Tapu, the other day, Jacinda Ardern mentioned she's going to have a bright future, that one. Well, it's because she works for 350.org. She's a director at 350.org. It's an environmental group that pushed to get the Keystone XL pipeline closed down in the United States. You know, the pipeline that runs from the shale fields of northern Canada and the Dakota states.
You mean the actual Canadian-owned oil company that was trying to get oil for their own people and sell it in their own country because Rockefeller Oil had taken everything out, and then turned out that Rockefeller Oil money was funneling into those protesters who are shutting down their competition? That one? Again, another yep. Pierre
so
Omidyar.
So she's a director of that organization that got that kind of down. So it's disturbing because at a time that was shut down, the United States was a net energy producer. Okay, and what do we have in the world? We have $3.50 a gallon gas, or sorry, a liter gas. And what do we do in New Zealand? We shut down Marsden Point, the refinery, that our only refinery, and. It's the only way I could describe that decision by government to do that, Vinny, was it was meant to be economically damaging. No other way. Like, nothing.
If your enemy is too poor
yeah.
to fight back, you win basically by default. And that's precisely what's going on here. It's just economic warfare. Make our enemies mm-hmm. poor so that they can't fight back.
True. And they do. And they try and waste our time. Like, for example, there is a video, essayist who lives in Christchurch. And this video essayist in Christchurch, I can't name because the little dickbag decided to go and get a restraining order against me. So I can't really say who he is. But anyway, it's little bastards like him who waste our time. They truly do. And and they tie us up. Absolutely. Who's on the phone, mate?
That's Steve Oliver, actually, from Oliver MMA.
Sweet. How's he doing?
Well, I don't know. I just told him that I was on a show and I couldn't take his call.
Yeah, fair enough. I totally agree with you. Economic warfare. It's happening. You know, they have the resources to tie us down, keep us busy, and preoccupy us while they continue to roll on. But I actually think that the pain of and the discomfort of our current existence is going to wake too many people up too quickly. I think that we're going to win. It's just going to hurt a little bit longer until enough of us have woken up. We just got to hit that critical mass point, and I think we're not far from it, to be candid with you. I think this winter is going to be a real telling point, because if emergency rooms and are really struggling already because of people coming there, it's going to get much worse as we get into darker, colder spells of winter. And, there's a woman the other day, I can't remember where it was, she was 40-something, presents at the ER, massive screaming headache, sits down, gets given a paracetamol, gets told to go home. 3 hours later, she comes back in an ambulance. She was intubated and died, had a hemorrhage, you know, and it's because there's just, we have mandated out all of these people who are medical professionals at all levels of the hierarchy because they didn't take a vax. Fuck. You know, and that in itself, knowing that many of these people who are sick in hospital already are double vaxxed or boosted, and these adverse effects, the frequency and the severity is ticking up. And when this begins to happen more and more around each of us and our little friends or colleagues, social groups, whatever, that's going to be the thing that gives this more wind, more speed.
I was just thinking about
that's
this.
What's going to.
When was the last time you saw an ambulance screaming by with its lights on and stuff like that? I didn't used to see them at all. But now every time I drive, there's at least one, maybe even two or three, that rush past me. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, yeah, I wonder what they're on the way to do, you know?
No, I absolutely agree with you. I typically drive along State Highway 1 between Orewa and Warkworth a lot, and even on just on that road, on when I infrequently drive, I'm amazed how many ambulances I see. And you know, when we already have the various medical response orgs like St. John telling us in ad campaigns to not call them unless it's absolutely necessary. And then you have 6 o'clock news in New Zealand highlighting that the police are often very much the first people to respond to crises, both medical as well as mental health. You know, it's a recipe for disaster. The crazy thing is if you look at how much money the executive branch of St. John's actually makes, it is the biggest rort. If people understood how much money is being siphoned off there, you'd be angry as hell about it. They always plead hardship, but man, they have the nicest stations, they get the most updated gear, and their ambos get paid really, really well, and the executive team even better.
Well, you're going to save some lives, ladies and gentlemen, and you too can be wealthy. Now,
But remember, there's all the people who just wanted to work because they got vaccinated and they thought it was a good idea. What about all the people who could be working right now, who are medically qualified but can't because of a choice, a human right? You know, and that's why economically we are crashing. We took too many people out of the workforce, and there's no way
If I may,
we're going to be able to overcome that.
we took the best people out of the workforce. Okay? We took the
Yep.
smartest, the healthiest, the most capable, and the most experienced people out
Yep.
of the workforce, plural. All right? Imagine the impact that's going to do. All right, you want to go to a print shop and stuff like that? Hey, can we do this design with that kind of thing? Oh, no, we can't do that anymore. We only got the big one. Oh, okay. All right, what about you at the help desk? Oh, no, we don't do that anymore. It's idiocracy out there now.
Everything's gotten shit, in my opinion. Everything, we are paying more and getting less out of everything. And that's not just money. It's about like energy that we extend to other people, we're getting less in return. You go to the grocery store these days, you go to fucking Countdown. You know, you're packing your own groceries like it's pack and save. Remember when you used to go to Countdown and they used to pack your groceries and put it in the bags for you? Now it's like going to a cafe and you're like, oh, can I get a glass of water? And they just point to a jug in the corner. It's over there. And it's just lazy. We've become a lazy society. Countdown, foodstuffs, in my opinion, should be fucking ashamed of themselves for their commercial conduct, absolutely extorting their supplier community and their customers. Their margins are on a global scale, are very, very high on the high end. And New Zealand's supplier market is one of the most concentrated you could possibly imagine in terms of their control over this place. A huge part of our pain is the cost of food, you know? So my advice to people is if you have the money and the means, buy things you need now. They're only going to get more expensive. Some things faster than others. But there will be a time where you suddenly look and go, far out, this is getting out of control. I don't think we're far away from that. You know, right, I think a lot of people in the world are expecting more calamity financially. People are buying up, people are preparing. It's the equivalent of when you're in a plane with everyone else, and the bit of turbulence happens, and some people instinctively just go into the crouch position, head between their legs, hand over their head. I think that crouch position is playing out throughout the world with various people who and organizations who understand that the economic paradigm that we know now is coming to an end.
Well,
People are
precisely,
buying up.
what's problematic is that people don't know anything about hyperinflation, like at all. They probably think Weimar Republic is some kind of clothing store, You know, it's we're going into real dark times here, and the thing about it is people ain't prepared for it because they ain't seen it in generations. You know?
Yeah. That's the thing that people don't get about the past, Vinny, is that in the Depression and back in the 30s, 40% of people during the Depression knew how to grow their own food. 40%, because times were different then. How many people today know how to grow their own food? Sweet fuck all. I'd say less than 10%. Okay, and when a lot of our food is imported, you know, we're going to have some very drastic shifts. You know, we will experience pain, but the pain will be necessary because we need to show the criminality. We need to show the criminality right down to the very fraud that's perpetrated by our fiat currency system at the very basis of everything that we do. If we show that, then people adopt something else. They'll adopt something decentralized, whatever it may be. I'm not a proponent of any one tool, but we need to decentralize.
Centralization is the main problem. There's an old story about a Roman emperor. He hears tell of a book that can tell the future and cost him a lot of gold and a lot of men's lives, but find it he did. And he was terrified by what he saw when he opened the pages. It foretold of a great grain shortage that would plague the city. So he leapt into action, built a great central granary, and confiscated the grain off of everybody. Kept all the stuff in there, guarded it around the clock. But in his haste to build this great granary, it wasn't waterproof properly. And the rain seeped in, and the grain rotted. Now, there are two models to this story. Number one, don't centralize. Don't put all of your eggs in the same basket. Let people take care of themselves. You don't need to do it for them in order to avert calamity. You might make that calamity worse if you try. And the second moral of the story, it's amazing the direction we go to avoid the fate we don't want is exactly the direction we had to go in order for it to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely true. We knew that back in, 2008, 2009, when some random Tuesday afternoon when the market started tanking and they chucked $750 billion into the money markets, you know, to save it. There was a moral hazard moment of like, do they do it or do they not do it? You know, this is the longest fiat currency run we've had, I think, that has been had in a very, very long time. And it's only been able to maintain itself because I think of the corruption continuing to keep us lulled into this false sense of security that everything was okay. I think that's why the only reason why the fiat currencies haven't failed sooner is because we're too busy lapping up all of their lies about how they were extorting us through inflation, interest, and taxation. You know, that's where that's why, like you said it before, there's no point centralizing stuff. Even if it's a movement just to get people to think about something, you can't centralize it. It has to be – it's up to the individual, right?
It comes from the micro to the macro, and that's all it is, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that for my value, for what I see going on, is I think that New Zealand really has soured on centralization. I think a lot of people would like to have more of a voice in their communities.
Hold on one second. I want to just comment on the irony, ladies and gentlemen, of a remote island nation favoring centralization.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The centralization is actually part of the Belt and Road Initiative. If you were looking at, you know, economic influence in policy that was going to create more centralization, it is the fact that Statistics New Zealand has a commercialization venture that is going to take all of the data that's collected from people who are vaccinated, digital information, health data, plus any other metadata they can extract from your digital life, and they want to commercialize that data on the open market. But more importantly, this open data is a requirement of the Belt and Road Initiative because China wants access to that data. We're all, if they had it in their way, we're all going towards social credit. And this is the lead in to that is, you know, the vaccine connected to social credit, connected to the Belt and Road Initiative, is the next economic paradigm that they're trying to create.
Yeah, I remember even the Green Party in New Zealand promoting the social credit system back in the day. This is a long-running plan. Okay, if you want to go from A to Z, do all the research, ladies and gentlemen, go for your life. But apply the 80-20 rule. 80-20 rule works in pretty much everything, you know, and what that means is 20% of the information contains 80% of the enlightenment. I'm going to give you the short 20% version, all right? Basically, these guys are Satanists. What do Satanists want to do? They want to create their own god to control, be all-knowing and all-powerful over everybody else so that they can rule in hell. If you can create AI, you have the ability to create a god-like entity that has that omniscience. Okay, that's basically what they want to do, to create their own artificial god to control you and control the earth forever in all ways. That is the goal here.
Inescapable system. And they've been conditioning us to sort of, expect this, that, for example, they want us to get comfortable with machines. They want us to believe now that machines are sentient. I don't know if you saw this the other day, but there was a Google engineer in the United States who was fired from his job because he was part of a AI program called Lambda that was an conversational AI tool. And he would ask Lambda questions, and he described the responses as if it were a 7 or 8 year old petulant child, but just has access to all the information in the world. And this is the frightening thing. Why are we hearing that we have a sentient computer out there and it's connected to Google? And why are we trying to humanize it? Why are we trying to give it something for me to identify with, that it's human? Because this is what the guy was trying to really convey, is like he knows a person when he hears it. And I'm like, no, I'm not with this. It's the transhumanism agenda. And Calvin and Hannah with Counterspin have commented on that. A lot of people have commented on transhumanism as the agenda, and absolutely is. There's a very concern, legally speaking, that, you know, in the United States, because by virtue of taking the vaccine, which is a nanotechnology, and it is inside you, will people lose their human rights because they are no longer human and instead they are transhuman? So people are wondering about this categorization and have brought it up. I can't remember, I can't quote the case, but there was a case from like 2013 or something like that. I can't remember the circumstances, but someone referenced it as a point to say, look, this is an avenue that we need to be concerned about. And I agree, because I don't want some almighty computer controlling my life and my body. I don't need that. We've all seen The Matrix. Shit.
Yeah. I'm scared, Dave.
Yeah. We've seen The Matrix. We've seen Terminators. We've seen this. We know how this plays out. So I'm not a fan of AI, but
People have been trying to warn us.
They are trying to warn us, but they are trying to warn us.
TV and science fiction novel. Arthur C. Clarke said, of course, famously, that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And what we're dealing with right now is dark sorcerers that have the ability to control the most powerful technological magic than you could ever believe. So brilliant that you would believe it no matter what it was.
Kind of scares me when Elon Musk, of all people, says, we're probably in a simulation. That is, if there's any one quote that'll always make me just sort of take the hair on my neck stand up. It's that we could just be a simulation. I know that sounds, I could get my head around it, but it just sounds really strange.
Yeah. Well, as I like to say, on the show, numerous times, we are fifth dimensional beings living in a strange universe. All right. What's the fifth dimension? Well, first dimension's a dot. Second dimension's a line. Third dimension's a box. Fourth dimension's that box moving through time. And the fifth dimension is where all your thoughts are before you've spoken them or built them or anything like that. They don't really exist unless you spend your fourth dimensional time willing those thoughts into the three-dimensional universe where they can be seen, smelled, tasted, or touched. Only then do your ideas actually have real value. Now, they actually affect the strange universe we live in. A couple of American talk radio hosts, they asked me one time, "So, Vinny, is the Earth flat or is it round?" And I go, "Well, I think it's a holographic fractal projection of collective consciousness experiencing itself subjectively." And they were like, and they were like, "Whoa.
Wow, Vinny, you Kiwis are crazy."
and you know, it sounds complex, and it is, but it's not complicated. Holograms, pretty straightforward. It's like a hard drive, except when you put a picture of, say, Damien Dement on this holographic hard drive, you try to delete it, you can't. The whole image is still there. It's just like half the resolution or something like that. And that's how all information and all existence is really stored. It doesn't matter what you try to destroy. Even if you burn a house down, the particles of wood just become particles of smoke. They just change. Nothing really ever gets deleted or forgotten, kind of like energy. And it goes in this what's called a fractal. All right, you look inside your cell, inside your finger. Inside that, if you zoom in far enough, you'll see it's made up of other cells. That are made up of other cells, that are made up of other cells. Just like this planet is made up of us. And it's a cell in our galaxy, which is a cell in the universe, which is probably a cell in a much larger organism we don't even have a concept for yet. And on top of that, that's the hologram. Nothing can ever be forgotten. And everything's just a smaller or larger version of something else. So where is this? They had this thing called the double slit experiment, where they found out that matter had consciousness. They had these two metal slits, and they had a proton gun, and what they figured was going to happen is they'd go bang, bang, and they'd figure out what happened on the aluminium foil. Did it explode? But it didn't. It went bang. It turned into a waveform and imprinted on the tinfoil behind the thing. They're like, "Whoa, that's interesting. Let's put a little camera there in the slot, see what happens as it goes in." Bang, bang. The particle reacted differently because it knew it was being watched. It had stage fright. All right? So if that little proton had consciousness, that means everything's got consciousness. Neutrons, electrons, morons, all of them.
It has to be.
And so this means that ostensibly everything that we think up, create into reality, affects the entire spectrum of consciousness, which is all the physical objects that actually exist in the universe in some tiny little way. That's how important our thoughts and the work that it takes to bring them into reality actually is, because they affect reality itself in an unchangeable way that affects every level of reality, all the cells and infinite civilizations that work within you, and all the giant macro organisms that we are passively a part of get affected in some small way by everything we think and everything we do.
Absolutely does. I agree with you. You're totally... What a nice way to end it. Nice way to end the show, buddy. That was excellent. You're absolutely right. We are all one. We are all one thing. We are all one consciousness. We are. It's a battle for good and evil. Satanist versus dark versus light. You know, Satan versus God.
The satanic consciousness versus the God consciousness. The satanic consciousness is all about me. What do I want? And what do I have to do to get it? God consciousness is, What about all of us? What's best for us? And how can I contribute towards that?
There's morality in that. There's morality in the many. There's not morality in just yourself. Just I. What do I want? Yeah, I can totally get you. Absolutely. You got any sweet plans for the weekend, buddy?
No. I thought I might have gone down to Tauranga or something like that and hang out with them. Tim Baker, Sue Gray, you know, that kind of thing at the event that they're doing down there. But, you know, gas prices being what they are, rent
it's
being
ridiculous.
What it is, food prices being what they are, like, it's actually too expensive for me to engage in activism.
Yeah, it's very hard for anyone to engage in just about anything these days. And for people who have to choose between medicine and food and bills and stuff, I'm sorry, and I pray for you, and I hope this gets better for many people. There are really wonderful people out there who are working hard to try and bridge gaps for people that are out there. Their angels do walk amongst us. One of them, Liao Fuyava and Elliot Ikele, those three in particular from Talana Asa'o do some amazing stuff in the community, and I want to say shout out to them because they're good souls, very good souls.
Yeah, exactly. Great Island Boys, otherwise known as Mr. Lava Lava. Now, I love. Okay, the jokes are just keep getting worse on the show. Like, I've been doing it 15 years, and they just keep getting worse. It's unbelievable.
Don't call it the bad news show. Just call it the bad joke show. Call it the bad joke show.
Well, I mean, ultimately, the jokes are worse than the news, and that makes the news more palatable. You know, kind of like salt on your eggs. Now, adding insult to injury. Anyway. Donors can support the show, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to share my screen with you for a little bit. And go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com/donate.html. Sorry, I wasn't listening to you there in the chat rooms, guys, because, had a few technical difficulties in the background here and had to produce and have Damien full screen. Otherwise, he like delays and stuff like that up in the corners, which is kind of irritating. And I don't know why that's happening, but I'm just going to figure out why eventually. Hey, and Just Mick just donated one ice cream into DLive. Thank you, bro. I am hungry.
Sweet.
I save for the sweet things. So if you go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and click on the donate tab, sorry, I'm getting a little bit wired. How, you know, it might be some kind of a fractal holographic thing that's going on. You can go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com/donate.html or just click on the donate tab when you go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead. Make my news. And go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, make a donation. Start an automatic payment and stuff like that. Even $1 a month is way better than nothing. And as the New World Order has taught us with their totalitarian tiptoe tactics, is that a little bit, a lot, makes a huge, huge difference. Oh, and we also had some cheers coming in from Chloe in the Twitch chat by the looks of it. Thank you, Chloe. Hey, and Chloe, by the way, thanks to you, bro, I got my first Twitch payout ever. Yeah, got $157 for like years broadcasting. I mean, I'm not sure how much that is an hour. But
it'll get you half a tank of gas. There you go.
It's better than nothing. But now I know that it works. You know, that kind of thing. Still haven't reached a level on DLive yet where I can get a payout of some description. But Just Mac and a number of other people have been donating lemons and stuff like that in there, which you're not supposed to do at a used car lot. But anyway. If you donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind I've been around for about 15 years. I'm not going anywhere unless, of course, I get kidnapped by the authorities and subsequently exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. But that's always been the case for the last 15 years, you know. I've no fear of doom. You can request a guest. You can even have a private call with me or get my help with your media project or idea and get access to the Secret Donors Club on Facebook. You can donate through PayPal, KiwiBank, and Patreon. You can support our band through Patreon, and that's another way of supporting the show, as well as our sponsors, HoldenHealthcare.com. David Holden's actually coming over to the house in a couple of hours as well. It'll be good to see him. We're doing a gig at Lone Star on Saturday. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday, I think, Damien, but... as good. Okay. If you go to HoldenHealthcare.com, ladies and gentlemen, David Holden is a naturopathic oncologist with a specialization in hard to treat cases. So if you've been through the medical ringer and they just give you medication after medication that keeps giving you side effects and not healing you, go to HoldenHealthcare.com because they actually work with you and really get to know you. And their team has like over 100 years combined experience that they bring to the table when they do that. A directory of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand is at reopen.nz. So if you have a business and you want to reopen New Zealand and you're against the mandates and you happen to believe in free will and choice and doing business the old-fashioned way, the honest way, then go to reopen.nz and list your freedom business today. Lastly, just on the advertising thing, and we'll come back to you in just a second, Damien. Go to the archive page, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com archives, and you'll notice here that we've got the show with Brad Flutie that we did, and we just did a roundtable just the other day with Kareem Mays and Jamie McNichol. And yeah, ladies and gentlemen, go and check out those archives. And when you do click on the archive, this is what happens down the bottom here. Please support Julia's archiving work. She's been so gracious since getting busted and getting deplatformed as to try and help me back up everything that I've ever done that is available on my BitChute and Odyssey on the website centrally. So you can watch things on Facebook, the One Great Work Network, Rumble, BitChute and Odyssey, and that's all thanks to Julia. So if you want to start up a monthly or a weekly automatic payments to her to support her archiving efforts at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, please go to the archives page and click on any archive, and those details will be there as well, and you can become a Patreon of hers too. Thank you so much, Julia, for all the work that you do to help me and recover what I've lost. I mean, it's really hard when you've got 15 years, like 20,000 hours of broadcasted content to sift through, and she's doing it in the old African way. How do you eat an elephant? They said. One bite at a time, the witch doctor replied. Okay. Damien,
well, I appreciate you having me on the show, Vinny. It's been a long time. Last time I was on your show was before the election, when it was a long, long time ago. Long time ago. So I appreciate having me on board. And there's any one thing I could actually say to people before I take off is that we have to give them hell. We have to give the deep state hell. We have to be gritty, salty people who are not about violence, who are doing it all from up here. We don't get sucked into their games, but we certainly are relentless in our pursuit to ask questions, which we are lawfully afforded. And where we already have the information, we are allowed to accuse them of it. So don't be a wimp. Don't be a sissy. Be ballsy, and encourage those around you to think for themselves. Because I don't want you guys to just do what I say or what that one person says. It's just go and explore the information yourself. You got a beautiful brain. Go and your soul. When you read truth, your soul tells you. So go do it. And let's go free our nation.
Last note here. Do you know who invented the telescope? Nobody does. Because 9 guys who spoke different languages, who had never met, who were on opposite sides of the world, all came up with a telescope design on the same night. It's the ideas, ladies and gentlemen. They're out there already. Don't be afraid that you're not doing something original. Okay? Maybe those ideas exist so that we can have encouragement from them. If only we listen to those ideas in our head at 4 o'clock in the morning, and instead of going back to sleep, we actually got out of bed and wrote it down. And then went back to sleep. And when we woke up fresh and strong and capable, look at that idea again and manifest it into reality. Be it a podcast, a radio show, a YouTube video, a documentary, a campaign of some description, a speaker's engagement. These are only ways of sharing information. Much more than information need be shared. Love need be shared. Laughs need be shared. Food, resources, skills. Mm-hmm. All these things need be shared. They once were, and now they can be again, if only we obeyed the dictates of our conscience instead of the dictatorship of the conscienceless. Thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen,
Besieded.
Slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. I mean, seriously, they're just awful.